Back in a moment, we've got one more hour to go of open lines for you this Wednesday and the Thursday, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, this is incredible. I'm getting all these fast blasts from people who remember when ice was delivered to their homes. I don't. I was in the refrigerator era, but it was not dry ice as I thought it was. They said it was regular ice primarily, though some people got dry ice. Most people here are saying, nope, it was just chunks of ice that we would put. It would get delivered in big blocks, and we would use it. We'd put our milk by it. Man, if times change. I just wonder, though, if you'd like to go back to those days or keep the days we have today. Think about that for a moment. Let's go to the phones east of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Dennis in the big CKLW.
In the Motor City and in Windsor.
Yeah, I used to go to high school right down the street from your station on 8 Mile.
Yep.
I wanted to talk. I'm not believing in spiritism and spiritualist and all that. I'm a very religious man. But two times in my life, my father passed away, and when my mother passed away, I deliver food to restaurants, and each time I was on my route, and the moment they died, I knew it. I knew it inside of me. It was an overwhelming sadness. I broke out in sobbing, and it was just like something inside of me broke between my father, and then when my mother passed away, it was something that was torn away from me. And it's just amazing how much it still makes me feel to this day.
A connection with them, Dennis. Was it like a little voice in you that said this had happened, or just that feeling?
It was just a feeling that I always was connected to my father and my mother, and then when they died, it was like the moment they died, it was like something left out of me, and it was a sadness. I was over in Livonia when my father passed away, and the customer was looking at me, and all of a sudden I sort of went like semi limp. And I leaned against the side of the wall in the kitchen. And he said, "What's wrong?" And I says, "I don't know." And I started to sob. It was like, and
oh, my God.
At me, he says, "Are you okay?"
Yeah, he probably thought you were having a breakdown or something,
yeah,
right?
Something like that. And I says, "I don't know. Something has happened." And then I went outside, and I had one more load of stuff to bring into the restaurant, and then he said to me, your company's on the phone. And
oh my
I went to
God.
The phone, and they said to me, Dennis, call your sister. It's very important. Call her on her cell phone. And I called her, and she says, Denny, she says, Dad just died.
Oh. So, you know, Dennis, let me, has it happened to you beyond these two times?
No, it's never happened to any, you know, I've had other deaths in the family, my grandmother and that, and it was just Dad and Mom. And, it was just, it's like my mother, she was a twin, and her twin sister, they didn't have to be in each other's company, and yet they knew. My mother would say, I'd say, "What's wrong, Mom?" She says, "Oh, Irene's having a bad day today." Something she would mention. And back then in the 50s, when we lived on 8 Mile, everybody didn't have phones, you know. And a week or so later, we'd go over to my grandma's house, and she would mention something. And by golly, my mom knew about it.
You know, that's probably where you got it. I would guess, Dennis, that your father passed on before your mother.
Yeah.
Yep. So it sounds like whatever gift you've had to get this, it came from your mother's side.
Yeah.
I think you were picking up your mother's feelings when your father died.
Yeah, I never thought about that because Mom was in the house, and you know, he died, and she called my sister right away, and then by the time my sister called me or called my company to call me, you know, I had already just almost collapsed.
Oh my God!
It's amazing.
It really is. Hey, thanks for sharing that with us.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
I mean, that is, yeah, I think you got it from your mom's side. First time caller line, welcome to Coast. Good morning.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Hey, I got a couple things quick to tell you.
Okay.
I talked to you a while back about Bigfoot. I was the guy that said that I could write a diagram down and on a piece of paper and tell you where he's standing, and I would come up to him, and by the time I would get up to him, this is in my dream, mind you.
Right, right. I remember that.
I'm the guy who had the dreams for the last 10, 11 years.
Yes.
And I just had one just recently, and I don't know what this is, why this is happening, and, you know, I don't know who to talk to about it or why this is happening all the time. And also, you gave me a website to get in contact with some people who are with the Bigfoot, you know.
Sure. And did you ever get a hold of them?
No, I did not. You told me the website, or I didn't have a chance to write it down.
Okay, I'll give it to you again. But these dreams are just Bigfoot dreams, aren't they?
Yeah, it's like I would come. I'm like, I kid you not, George, I'm like 2 feet away. I want to, like, reach out and touch him, like, make a handshake with him. He'll look at me, and he'll just, like, look at my hand, and he'll run back down, you know, like, through the woods and jump off this bluff, and I'll never see him again.
Strange. I'm going to, are you somewhere where you can write down these two websites I'm going to give you?
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the first one, I want you to call our dream expert, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Her website is www.visionaryliving.com. So just Visionary Living, V-I-S-I-O-N-A-R-Y, visionaryliving.com. Let's find out from her why you're having Bigfoot dreams. And then the real good Bigfoot people, call Lauren Coleman, get a hold of him in his website. I guess you don't even have to say www anymore, but his website is Crypto, C-R-Y-P-T-O, Mundo, all one word, M-U-N-D-O, CryptoMundo.com. And he's you know, he's one of the experts on Bigfoot.
Okay, one else thing, too. I think it was last year sometime you were talking about some rock stars with the spellings of their names. I just caught the end of it. You were talking about a Jim Morrison. If you would spell his name backwards, in one of his songs, it's Mojo Rising. Do you remember that, George?
Yeah, I remember that.
Gary
Patterson was our guest at the time.
Okay. I just caught the end of that, and I just want to know if any listeners out there as well heard of that.
Okay, follow up on those two websites. And I also know Gary Patterson is working on a program for us about the Jim Morrison case. This could be a blockbuster. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Welcome to the program. Where are you?
Hi, my name is Alex. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, over the where Art used to broadcast.
Yes.
I've been listening to Coast since I was 13 in 1998. Great show. You're doing a wonderful job. I enjoy it very much.
Thank you, Alex.
Couple questions and something I'd like to reflect on with you. First question, if the world ends, let's just say kind of like that, how do you think it goes down, George?
If the world ends...
Yes, in your do you have any kind of conception or anything?
Yeah, one of two things will happen. Either there's been a horrible nuclear calamity and everybody goes nuts, or we get hit with the biggest asteroid you can imagine. And I tend to think that's probably what's going to do us in more than somebody pushing the button and wiping us all out.
Gotcha. Okay, interesting view. Second question. I have always seemed to turn out street lights. I've lived in two places in the United States, pretty much half my life in each place. And for some reason, certain street lights seem to turn off. Any idea on that?
And like, you know, I had an expert who called me once, and then another guy I met who said that they have sensors in there and that the sensors are doing it. It has nothing to do with the individual. But I've talked to so many people who are not in cars, who are not flashing headlights at these sensors or anything else, and that they are the ones who walk by the streetlight, and they go on and they go off. It's weird.
Exactly. I've run into a similar situation. Like, I remember as a kid growing up in Georgia, I would walk down the street at night coming home from going out to play, and not all the streetlights, but the same one in particular every, you know, so often seemed to go out. And since I've moved to Las Vegas in the last couple of years, same sort of situation here. Neighborhood, certain particular streetlights seem to go out.
Hey, do you do the same thing with a slot machine?
No, actually, not a big one for myself, but that might be interesting to see if I could tip something off.
You never know.
The last thing I kind of wanted to talk about was, I guess, a couple Fridays ago, I guess you guys had Graham Hancock on.
Yeah, I think Art did. Art was filling in for me. Graham Hancock wasn't.
Yeah, the 28th. And he was talking about his new book, Supernatural. And in particular, I thought interesting, the drink from the Amazon, the ayahuasca brew.
Yes.
I guess that gets the DMT going and all that sort of stuff, and it really seems to open up your mind's eye. I'm not really, like, promoting drugs or anything like that, but I've had some experiences with mushrooms and similar sort of stuff, and one of the things that he touched on that I found very true was you really do go through self-analytical phases where you kind of see yourself very clearly and are able to make certain reflections, and it really has helped me overcome some demons, I guess you could say, in the last couple of years.
You've drank the stuff?
Not the ayahuasca in particular, but some other types of plants and stuff like that. The ayahuasca seems like you have to go down to the Amazon and pick it up.
Yeah, you have to do that. And I'm told if you can keep it down, if you know what I mean, then you're going to go on one incredible journey. But they say it tastes awful.
I'm sure it does. Some vines and plants all kind of mixed together. I mean, it can't be too pleasant, as seems to be the trend with most of those plant varieties. Like I said, I've had some experiences, and they're all kind of nasty, but they do kind of open up that third eye.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for the call. First time caller line, take it away. Hi.
Hi, my name's Veronica.
Hi, hello, Veronica.
Hello, I'm calling from Chicago. I'm a first-time caller.
There are not many Veronicas out there anymore.
No, there's not. No, I really like my name, though.
That is a nice name. It's different. It's unique.
Yeah.
I remember. I used to read comic books a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, the Veronica Anarchy ones?
Yep, absolutely. Yep. That was my first association with a Veronica. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what'd you call for?
Oh, I called, first of all, I love your show. It's a great show.
Thanks.
And I wanted to agree with the previous caller about Graham Hancock. I think he's a great guy. I think he should start, like, a revolution, you know, because he thinks everybody's conditioned in the world, so he should, like, start a revolution to help us, you know, do something to help the world.
He's a genius.
He is. And I also wanted to ask you what the update is on this giant telescope out in the South Pole. Do you have any information on that?
I don't think it's online yet, but they're working toward it. I'm more interested in the listening devices that they've put up for SETI that will be searching for extraterrestrial intelligence. But the one on the South Pole, I'll get an update for you, and I'll spit it out in the next day or two, okay?
Okay, great.
Okay, they're doing that because some people say there's an object coming our way from the south. Other people say, no, it's just another great way to glimpse into the heavens. East of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, Mr. Norrie.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi, this is Steve. I'm calling from North Dakota.
Yes.
I wanted to share an experience with you because it's very unusual, and I would be curious to see if there are other listeners out there that have had similar experiences.
Okay.
I just got back from a year in Afghanistan. I've always been a believer in ghosts. I think I've been a bit more sensitive than the average person to them, although I'm certainly not psychic. One of my experience, this experience in particular, we were sent out. We were out in the middle of nowhere in the mountains in Afghanistan. I was stationed at a place called Fog Warrior, and we were sent out to this compound in the middle of nowhere to do some recon and check for viability to establish a future FOB. We were there for 3 days, two nights. Of course, we had to post guards, and these compounds, they're actually houses that are just have walls, these 10-foot high or sometimes even 20-foot high mud brick walls around them, and they have towers, and of course, we're in the towers. And the weather in Afghanistan is much like it is in North Dakota. It's harsh, it's windy, it's hot, and it's cold. Never seem to have anything other than that. But one night, the first night that we're in this compound, there are just some unbelievably strange things occurring. And now, this was a compound that belonged to a sub-governor who was allowing us, actually letting us rent his property so that we could establish this FOB.
Okay.
So there were a lot of personal effects, personal belongings left behind on this FOB. I'm sure a lot of them were religious, a lot of them were religious in nature. But there was something at this compound that was not at all happy that we were there. You could hear voices almost on the wind. And I understand that wind can carry sound.
Sure.
And it was a roaring wind, but there would be times of absolute silence, and we would hear these voices, and they got louder. And it actually sounded like a cat being strangled at one point. It was blood-curdling. The second night, I'll be honest with you, I was terrified. I'm up in this tower, and of course, you're listening for enemy and looking for enemy, and I hear scraping and footsteps and scuffling.
Yeah, you don't need that too at the same time, do you?
No, not at all. But the second night, and this is kind of where it really starts to get scary as I remember it. I was in this tower, and I could hear this weird voice coming up to the room below the top of the tower that I was on. And I looked down in there, and I saw it. And it was transparent, and it was white, and it had long, stringy hair, and absolutely evil eyes. Absolutely evil. It was all I could. I couldn't go through the room. That was my only way
right.
down.
You were as high up as you could go, huh?
Right. And the weird thing is, after we left there, twice now, I have an hour-long commute on the way home from work every night. I've seen it twice since I've been back.
No, you mean like it's followed you to the States?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Whatever it is. By the way, thanks for serving. We'll be back. Well, that last caller we had, soldier from Afghanistan, what you very well may have had there is a banshee. Now, I don't want to scare you, but I'm going to tell you what this is. A banshee wails around the house if someone in the house is about to die. And, it started in Irish myth, of course. But, you heard the wailing and you've seen it. And, it could very well be that. It's seen as an omen of death and a messenger from the other world. So just be aware of that, if that's what it is. We'll be back in a moment with the rest of the open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. And come out if you're going to be near Norfolk, Virginia this weekend, Friday, Saturday especially at the Talk Fest there. Come on out and say hello. Let's go to the phones. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Morning, George.
Hi.
Hey, I want you to know I don't believe in ghosts, but I got to tell you about something that is very real that happened to me after my brother passed away back in '86. He died he got tore up pretty bad car accident.
Ah, okay. And, what happened?
Well, he was drinking and driving, and he was driving a little Chevy Chevette, hit a telephone pole going over 100 mile an hour. When I identified his body, I had to identify him by a tattoo that I put on his arm. Half of his face was missing, and I started having dreams right after he passed away. Now, my brother and I were very close. His name was Buddy, and you never saw one of us without the other one being there. And it was just a fluke that I wasn't in the car with him that night.
Yeah, okay.
And I started having these dreams. And in these dreams, when I would come into the dream, I was in a stone tunnel. And at the end of the tunnel, there was a flashing light. I would walk towards that light, and it actually opened up like a dock. And there was a large field of fire, and I could see Buddy sitting, leaning against the rock out in the middle of this field in this fire. And there was the sky with clouds, and all seemed so very real. So I jumped down off of this dock, and I go after him. The fire was like snake heads. And when I would brush against them with my legs, they would cut me. When I'd wake up, I still feel the pain of the cuts. No physical cuts on me, but I could feel them. Now, I had this dream that went on for probably a month. And I honestly believe that if I could get Buddy out of there, take him back through the tunnel, the way I came in, when I woke up, he would be sitting on that bed next to me. I tried this. At first, I was afraid to go back to sleep. After a while, I got to the point that I didn't want to do anything but sleep because I wanted to try to get him out of there. The one dream I had that I actually got him into the tunnel, and this guy came running after us. This blonde-haired guy came running after us, and he started beating on me until I dropped Buddy.
Wow.
Now, I woke up immediately afterwards. Next time I went to sleep, I worked at a factory where I made springs for trucks.
Okay.
And I dreamed that I was at work, and there was a soda machine right behind this draw fire machine that I worked at. And I worked the midnight shift there. That's why I wasn't in the car with him that night. And I dreamed that I went back to the soda machine to get a soda. And Buddy was sitting there exactly the way I seen him at the morgue when I went to identify him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting on the steps going up to the office. And he said, actually, there was parts of his body that was missing in this accident.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, well, the state police couldn't find your eye. He said, my eye is embedded in the steel post next to the windshield. Well, we knew where the car was, where it was impounded, and I went down there. I got the state police permission to go to the car. I went down there, and I looked, and I found his eye.
Oh, my God.
It didn't look like an eye, though, George. It was like just a gray gel. I guess it had started to decompose.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It was like smeared on there. So I called the state police, this Pennsylvania State cop up, and I said, I think I found his eye. And he said, well, you didn't mess with him. He goes, no, you know, I told him where it was. And he said, I'll check it out. A couple days later, I called him back, and he said, yeah, he said that was most likely his eye. it was part of his, you know, part of his body. He said most likely it was his eye. It was decomposed. This was like 6-7 days.
See, but the fact that he would tell you this in the dream state is amazing.
And then, well, the thing is, I mean, the dreams were just so real. And my brother, my girlfriend, everybody thought that I was losing it. And when this thing, whole thing about the eye came up, they didn't know what to think. Because I told them before I got in the car, I lived in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Right,
this
okay.
This happened in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, which is a good 45-minute ride away. I told them before I left the house, I said, I'm going down to the car. I know where Buddy's eye is.
And they must have been looking at you like, oh,
well,
don't do this.
My stepbrother went with me. And you know, he was like, are you all right, man? Are you all right? And I kept saying, yeah, I'm fine, man. I'm fine. I know where his eye is. I talked to Buddy in my sleep. I know where the eye is. And then when the cop came back and said that was it, I mean, everybody just stopped calling me nuts for a minute, you know?
Well, let me tell you, I know that you said at the beginning that you don't believe in ghosts. But at this point, after these incredible dreams and this one here, where you found your brother's eye, you've got to believe that something very unusual is going on in this universe. Whether you believe in ghosts or not, you got to believe that there's something else out there. And the fact that your brother somehow communicated with you in the dream state is very natural, according to a number of the guests we've had on. Let me take a few more calls, and then we're almost done here on Coast to Coast AM. Hi there. You're on the air with us.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Great show. Hey, right off the bat, one of your callers had a question about how to improve her immune system.
Yes.
Because she has been on chemotherapy. And I know this because I'm a doctor of pharmacy. Neulasta is a product that she might want to talk to her doctor about. Again, it's appropriate for some people, and for some people, not so appropriate. So that's one thing she might want to consider. Now, let's flip the coin. It sounds as if you are a proponent of herbal or natural supplements.
Yes. Okay. I still believe in modern medicine, but I do believe in the alternative practice, too.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, my thought on that is, and this is not to take anything away from your guest this morning, but most of times, you know, the herbal products or natural supplements don't get the good press that they really deserve for all the good that they can do. And I understand why. You know, most of the times, A, it's hard to standardize these things. You know, you go in to get echinacea from a plant, you know, you're not sure, is it 3 milligrams I've got, is it 10 milligrams?
Yeah.
But there is a way to get around it. Assay the product, you know, do a chemical analysis on the product and see exactly how much echinacea is in there. But, you know, most of the products out there, they rarely assay them. So that's,
well, and if they're coming from China, who knows what they are, you know?
Exactly. And, of course, another problem is most of the times when people start using these products, they don't go to the appropriate sources to find out exactly what dose they need. Take, for instance, echinacea. It's, you know, it's a product that people use for the cold. I look at most of the products out there in the pharmacy, and most of the products have just about a tenth of echinacea that they need to get that immune-boosting effect or to get that antiviral capacity. And but again, you know, it's beginning to change. And I know this because, you know, this is a colleague. I don't know him personally, but he did put out a study in July, and this can be found in the Lancet of Infectious Disease Journal. It showed that echinacea cuts the cold by more than half. And it also cuts the risk of catching the cold. And I do know this because I've done some work in putting together a product, you know, for a company that people can use for a cold, you know, combination of zinc, echinacea, and vitamin C and all the things in there. But we've tried to make sure that people get the right doses that they need. And that's very important. People always have to determine that when they start using a natural ingredient. And, yeah, but they can check it out if, you know, if they have any doubts about, you know, these products, look it up on the web. Lancet of Infectious Diseases, it came out in the journal in July. And
okay.
I have a lot of them posted on my website. So people can just go out there and the research is out there.
Great. Thanks a lot. You know, it's a doctor of pharmacy with a twist of alternative medicine. I like that. Let's go to our next wildcard line. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir. Hi. Thanks for holding.
Oh, hi. This is John from Denver. How are you doing tonight?
Good, John.
Good. Yeah, I'm an actual Detroit, Michigan native.
Yeah. How'd you get out to Denver? What got you out there?
You know, I don't know. I just felt like it was time to go somewhere else.
Just appeared. You teleported to Denver.
I just wanted to, just be close to the mountains for a little while and hang out somewhere different for a minute.
Well, nothing wrong with that. What's going on?
I wanted to talk about, I had tried, like, remote viewing and astral projection in a time when I was going through, recovery for addiction, and everything was going good for, like, 6 months, and then but I was having all these beyond coincidence things, just with the whole spiritual awakening that comes with that, you know, and I felt like there's something in me drawing me, because I had like an ex-girlfriend that we broke up over the whole ordeal,
Sure.
And when I was young, I studied Wicca a little bit, and, you know, I understood how astral projection worked. Well, one day I'm sitting around, and I'm feeling so in tune with the universe with this whole, all these changes in my life and all that. And I put myself in this, like, orb, and I traveled all the way to our old apartment where we used to live together, and I got in there, and she's in the bathroom, and I see this in my head, right? And at the time, I don't know if it's real or not, right? And I see her in there, and I just say, hey, and I'm sorry. I just apologize to her. And that's it, and then I just was done, and I didn't know if I really did it or not. And then, like, the next day, I talked to her, and she said that she only feels the weirdest thing happened yesterday. I heard your voice, in the room, and she ran to, like, the bedroom and just collapsed in the bed crying. She goes, she thought I was in there, you know. She was like, I took the keys from you, you know. And, she ran and says, it was so real. She went around looking for the apartment.
That worked. You know, it worked.
Yeah, but this is the catch also is after that, I started having, like suicide thoughts, like voices in my head. And I didn't know what to do. And I actually, at the time, I wasn't religious. You know, I was more agnostic than anything. And I actually called my parents' minister, and he gets on the phone, and I didn't know what to do. You know, I mean, I was really freaking out, like, having voices in my head tell me to kill myself. This never happened in my life.
Yeah, no, you don't want that. And were you, is it all because of her? You were depressed about her?
Well, no, because I was in recovery for drug addiction at the time.
Okay.
You know,
everything was hitting you at the same time.
Yeah. So the minister, this is the big catch. The minister gets on the phone and he goes, hi. He goes, and I told him what was happening, that I just was having these voices in my head and I didn't know what to do about it. And he goes, did you happen to, by chance, practice astral projection recently? I go, yeah. And I thought that was a weird thing just to ask somebody, you know. And then he goes, yeah, God told me that somebody was going to call me today that had done that. And I lost it.
Did you believe him?
I had, huh?
Did you believe him?
Yeah. Well, how many people would just say that? You know, no, I honestly did believe something like that somehow. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That somewhere through the collective consciousness, which is more or less my belief, you know, and that
what finally got you going in the right direction, which I assume you're doing now?
Yeah. This was almost 10 years ago, but that awakening that showed me that there's more beyond this physical thing, whatever it is, and I don't think nobody can totally say they can define it, you know, accurately, but there's more to this, and that's that proof right there made me understand that, you know, there was something more collectively going on in a higher state of consciousness that, you know, a lot of us aren't really taught well.
No doubt about that, John, and just keep plugging the right way. Time for one more quick call, I think. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Sharon from North Carolina.
Hi, Sharon. What's going on?
Well, it's quite serious. Have you heard anything about implants being done on people? It creates a scar on the back of the neck, just down below the medulla, and it's about an inch and a half wide. The first one was my son, but the second one was my daughter, done in a hospital in Charlotte. I was told by a nurse to ask the doctor about it. I did. He just stared ahead and would not say anything.
Why do you think this is going on, Sharon?
I have no idea, but it's an inch and a half wide.
All right, so we're not talking about implants from aliens, right? We're talking about implants from people in a hospital.
Yeah, for some strange reason. And so I remember my daughter, when she woke up, she felt like her heart had stopped.
My gosh. Have you had your daughter checked out where this has been x-rayed and it's indeed there?
Well, no, I didn't, because I didn't understand until after I had one, which was, hers was done in September. I was in my bed at home in a trailer. All of a sudden, I woke up and felt like my heart had stopped. And I think it was the next morning, I felt up the back of my neck, and there was an inch and a half wide scar.
Sharon, I want you to send me an email at george@coasttocoastam.com so I can follow up with you on this, please. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.